In the gospel lesson we just heard, two words catch our attention. They are the words cup and baptism, and they are sacramental words. In the Lord's Supper, there is a cup. And according to God's word, it contains nothing less than the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism is water combined with God's word and is a work of God by which he promises you salvation. Diving a little deeper, we also hear in Scripture that in a baptism, death occurs. Paul writes, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death." The other half of the verse reads as such: "Just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Conclusion: there is death, and there is life in a baptism, as God declares. Sin dies, and we are made anew, washed and cleansed, not dead to sin, but alive to God, through the one we have been united with, Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper also speaks of death. The blood of Jesus is shed for the forgiveness of sins and consumed under the wine we drink. Our proclamation after receiving that sacred gift is to be that of 1 Corinthians 11:26. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's Supper is deeply rooted in the crucifixion. We proclaim Christ's death whenever we receive this meal. The sacraments we take involve the death of sin because of the death of Christ. And so the words cup and baptism used by the Lord in this morning's gospel reading are more appropriate than they might seem at first. Jesus will drink a cup, but it's the cup of God's wrath. Jesus will be baptized, but he will be baptized in a bath of suffering and shame, ending in his death. To James and John's audacious request, Jesus says, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized?" The sons of Zebedee seek glory. They want heavenly positions flanking the enthroned Son of God. Whether or not they understand their confident words, "We are able," Jesus prophesies that they too will share in his cup. They will share in his baptism, meaning they will suffer on account of having faith in Christ. In Acts chapter 12 specifically, we see the cup that James drinks as he dies for the faith he proclaims. But what about the glory? What about the glory they seek? Jesus doesn't deny the existence of these positions requested by James and John, but they are not his alone to give. Instead, Jesus says heavenly glory belongs to those for whom salvation has been prepared. Prepared. At that word, one might think of Matthew 25, the great scene of the sheep and the goats, and it is to the sheep that Jesus says, "You are blessed, inherit the salvation prepared for you since the foundation of the world." Glory comes by faith, but many times faith includes suffering, as James and John will experience. For us, the Zebedee brothers model the Christian life. There is suffering before glory, tribulation before exaltation. There is death before eternal life. As God's disciples, they were called to faith, but they will share in the sufferings of their Lord. This order of suffering before glory unfolds not just in our own lives, but we see it in the life of Jesus. There is a Good Friday before Easter, so don't skip Good Friday. There is death before life. Note this sequence well. Before rising on the third day, Jesus tells his disciples he must first pass through trial and condemnation. He's delivered to his enemies. He will be mocked, flogged. He will be killed, all before rising triumphantly on the third day. Indeed, there is suffering before glory. Disciples not named James and John are indignant at the brothers' request. They're ticked off over their desire to rise above the pack. If you've ever watched little children, you'll see how important it is for them to be the line leader. That's an important position to them because it means they're first. They're ahead of everybody else and seen by others. Little children have to be taught not to be selfish. When we hear them say stuff like, "That's my toy. Give it back. It's mine. But you weren't playing with it, Joey. But it's mine." Selfishness doesn't have to be taught to kids because it's in our nature. When a child is being selfish, refusing to share, or crying because they're not at the head of the line, what we see is the old Adam at work. And it's not just in kids. In everybody, there is an old Adam, a corrupt flesh, sin tempting us to highlight ourselves and neglect our neighbor. Even disciples of Jesus were not immune to this. They were not immune to self-centeredness, as they were indignant at the prospect of having some of their own rule above them. Jesus teaches his confused followers about what it means to be a child of God. In the world, there are rulers and great ones, kings, officials, and magistrates who exercise authority and consider themselves rulers in every sense of the word. Greatness in the world's eyes means possessing power and authority to control others. Christ, however, turns the world's perception of greatness on its head when he teaches how the Christian is great. It's a reversal of our thinking. To be great means serving others. To be first means being a slave to everyone. God isn't looking for people who worship themselves. Rather, he calls sinners to repentance and faith. He calls people to recognize their sin and seek his unending mercy and compassion. He calls us to love, to serve, to forgive others. He doesn't call us to lord ourselves over our neighbors as a tyrant expecting them to grovel at our feet. James and John sought greatness before God. Only true greatness before our Father in heaven wouldn't come the way they expected. Jesus doesn't deny these glorious places existing beside his throne, but they are for those for whom these places are prepared. Salvation and glory of life eternal is prepared by God for his called saints who have faith in Christ. Glory is for those who live a life of daily contrition, repentance, and faith in God, who has secured for you a heavenly abode by sending his only begotten Son to lay down his life for you. Even Jesus says he did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. The word ransom means payment for something in order to get something back. Christian, your God has served you. Your God has served you by giving his very self to ransom you, to release you from the bondage of sin and the captivity of death. It is the ultimate expression of service. Christ willingly goes to the cross to be a ransom in order to buy his people back from sin, death, and the power of the devil. He gives his own life as a sacrifice for you. But his divine service to us continues. I said earlier that in a baptism and in the Lord's Holy Supper, these two gifts contain the benefits of Jesus' ransom, of Jesus' death. Friends, everything Jesus has obtained for you at the cross is yours in the waters of holy baptism. where Christ promises to be present. They are yours in the gifts of the Lord's Holy Supper, where Christ promises to be present for you. In the Lord's Supper, you possess the very body and blood shed for you, blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. In the waters of holy baptism, Christ promises to be there for you, where Scripture actually says in a baptism, you have put on Christ. So my final point is this. Friends, when you suffer and you believe you are drinking a cup of anguish, don't be afraid. Remember who you are and know what your Savior has done for you. By His blood, He has purchased you for Himself, and salvation is prepared for you. When the burdens of life are heavy, and they are too heavy for us to bear by ourselves, your holy baptism and the benefits that it brings continue to be yours. The gifts of waters of regeneration, where daily the old Adam dies and the new man arises to live before God in righteousness and purity. Those gifts and baptism, they never go away. Baptism doesn't have an expiration date. And all of this is yours because of Christ, who ultimately served you by drinking the cup of wrath and being baptized in the fires of death in our stead. Christian, He has ransomed you for Himself. Therefore, consider yourself His. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.